Put it there, and then it's like this, oh, it's a little bit. And I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who alone is the giver of good gifts unto the children of men, which includes my effort this evening that if it's His will, it will be the message that He gives me, and I pray that it has been and will be. First thought I want to bring to you is that I'd like to have a quiz this evening by each of you, and I would like for each of you to think upon the following questions with me as they appear on the screen, and search our hearts, not just yours, but mine too, our hearts and minds, for their true answer. And we'll start off with, do you believe? And first question is that Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. And I would like to go to 1 John and the second chapter. And 20 to the 23rd verses. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you, he's speaking to, this is John speaking to the people. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but somebody say something. Oh, sorry, my echo, I guess. But because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So that is the basis of our thoughts this evening as we go back.
I like to use the air.
Oh, these keys. Okay, I'll go back. All right, yeah, all right. Don't use those instead. Yeah, okay. Well, I am used to using a mouse and not one of these touch things. My hands are too shaky for them, and I get into all kinds of trouble with them. And now I'd like to go over to the Book of Mormon and the first Book of Nephi, and the third verse, and read a few verses there. And it came to pass that I beheld the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the book of the Lamb of God, which is the Bible, which had proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew, that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren. And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews who were scattered upon the face of all the earth, that the records of the prophets and of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, that is the Bible, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. So the Bible has been mutilated to some extent, but not beyond our use or its worth, nor its understanding, really. Shall make known unto all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established in the mouth of the Lamb, or by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so we have here the first confirmation of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon and the truthfulness of the Bible, as far as that is concerned, with those few things that have, or several things actually, that have been taken away from it to endeavor to confuse us concerning the gospel. But there was still truth enough there for those who really concerned for its truthfulness and approached the Lord, that they could understand them. Now I want to go to Alma in the 16th chapter, and beginning at the 204th verse on page 428, and read a couple of verses there. And ye also beheld that my brother, now this is Alma's brother that's speaking here. Alma just concluded, and this is Amulek who is now speaking. That my brother has proven unto you in many instances that the word is in Christ unto salvation. My brother has called upon the words of Zenos, that redemption cometh though the Son of God through the Son of God, and also upon the words of Zenoch, and also he has appealed unto Moses to prove that these things are true. And those when you go through those, I'm not going to do it tonight, it's too extensive, but take your Book of Mormon and follow the references. It would be good to use the resources to flash it on the AVA Bible research and search these things out. We cannot ever spend too much time in searching the scriptures of Jesus Christ and proving the words that we hear from the pulpit You know, every one of us who stand up here are human. There's only one person that ever stood behind a pulpit, and actually he didn't stand behind a pulpit, but he stood in the open field and preached the gospel, and that was Jesus Christ, the only one that was not human in the sense of his error. He could make no error. He did make no error. And we have to rely upon those things. And I want to go to 3 Nephi, and this is on page 632. And you can see those references down there at the bottom of the page to help you if you're trying to follow. And I want to read, beginning with the 13th verse, a few verses here. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he'd just been prophesying to them of the last days. The whole multitude fell to the earth, for they remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should show himself unto them after his ascension into heaven. And this is his first appearance to them on this land. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands into my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. Now, some get confused about this God title that he takes. He was made God of this earth and the heavens, not taking his Father's place in eternity or in the heavens above. He will sit on the right hand of God when he is fully completed here, but he is the God of this earth. And it came to pass that the multitude went forth and thrust her hands into his side and did feel the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet. And this they did do, going forth one by one until they had all gone forth and did see with their eyes and did feel with their hands and did know of a surety and did bear record that it was he of whom it was written by the prophets had come. And when they had all gone forth and had witnessed them for themselves, they did cry out with one accord, saying, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Most High God. And they did fall down at the feet of Jesus and did worship him. And it came to pass that he spake unto Nephi, for Nephi was among the multitude, and he commanded him that he should come forth. And Nephi arose and went forth and bowed himself before the Lord, and he did kiss his feet. This is one of the very strong evidences of Christ. You know, if you or I could see him and thrust our hand in his side and feel the prints of the nail in his hand, we too would believe unshakenly. And I do believe unshakenly, and I pray and hope that, and believe that you do too, that he is indeed the God of Israel and of not just Israel, but of all the inhabitants that ever were or ever will be upon the earth. And I'm going to skip through a number of these other, I do want to go to Ether though, on 732, and read a couple of those that, beginning with Ether 1, 1994, on I missed my page here a little bit. Yeah, I go it over on the wrong page here. Okay, 23. And beginning with the 90th verse. And when the Lord had said these words, he showed unto the brother of Jared. Now, this was on the mountain where Jared had gone up have the stones that he had prepared for the ark, or barges give them light. When the brother Jared, I'm going to stop that again. And when the Lord had said these words, he showed unto the brother of Jared all the inhabitants of the earth, which had been, and also all that would be. And the Lord withheld them not from his sight, even unto the ends of the earth. Now that's a long time, and that's an awful lot of information. Going on. For the Lord had said unto him in times before, that if he would believe in him, that he could shew unto him all things, it should be shown unto him. Therefore, the Lord could not withhold anything from him, for he knew that the Lord could show him all things. A couple more verses. And the Lord said unto him, write these things and seal them up, and I will show them unto mine own in mine own due time unto the children of men. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded him that he should seal up the two stones which he had received and shew them not until the Lord should shew them unto the children of men. And the Lord commanded the brother of Jared to go down out of the mount from the presence of the Lord and write the things which he had seen. And they were forbidden to come unto the children of men until after that he had that he should be lifted up upon the cross. And we read earlier there in the first few verses where he showed the evidence of his crucifixion being lifted up upon the cross as he had prophesied here. The next question is, do you believe that God or Christ can lie? Now I want to go over here to Titus. Excuse me for taking a moment here. All right, then. Titus 1, 1 through 3. Paul, the servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God cannot... in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifest his words through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God the Savior. And we also want to go over to 1 John. And in the second chapter and the 20th through the 23rd verses, more conclusive on that. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. This is John speaking to the multitude. And I have written unto you because he's writing a letter to, somebody ought to tell you who it was to. Well, it was a general epistle, as I was had in mind. General epistle that he had written. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. This 21st verse there, no lie is the truth, and we know that the gospel is the truth. And our next question, going the wrong way. That was John, okay. Titus, I think I already read that. Yes, I ran that out. Using this thing the wrong way. And I went through that. The next question is, do we believe that the Book of Mormon is translated correctly? That's a question you have to answer for yourself. I can't answer it for you. The scriptures itself doesn't answer it for you. That's something you have to believe in faith, and faith will make you whole. Whole in the truth, whole in the gospel, whole in eternal life. The next question is that it's prophecies, that is, of the scriptures, and particularly the Book of Mormon, will all be fulfilled completely. And I want to go to 1 Nephi on page 75. I wish you could do that with a Bible, but I can't. page 75 in the 7th chapter and the 43rd, I'm not going to read all of those verses, but I want to get in some of them. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people unto the fulfilling the words of Moses, which he spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. Now this is Moses speaking, so he's not speaking of himself, he's speaking of one that will be raised up. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all those who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to skip those other references, but if you've written them down, you can check them out. Do you believe that the Gentiles are the dominant race of the Church of Christ today? I don't think any of us would deny that. They are indeed. Do you believe that these records, that is the Bible and the Book of Mormon, are the actual words and prophecies of Jesus Christ? Again, we want to go to the Book of Mormon and in 3 Nephi, page 664, and verses 1 and 3. But if they will repent and harden not the, and hearken, if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking himself. Harden not their hearts. I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance. And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel. Now this is speaking of the, he had just been speaking of the Gentiles in the last several verses of the ninth chapter. And so he is speaking of them, not to them, but of them. And also as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. Now, we're back up here just a moment. Here in the middle of the first verse. And be numbered, that is, those of the Gentiles who will who will not harden their hearts, and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. Now, they do not become Israel. And no place in the scripture did you find the words adopt into Israel. They are numbered with, and that's the difference. It's takes some study and perhaps to understand that, but they are not the lineal descendants which the promises are basically made to, but they will be numbered among those who will receive them if they are righteous. And I want to go on to the third verse now. And then shall they assist my people that they may gather in, that they may be gathered in, who are scattered upon all the face of the land in unto the New Jerusalem. And that's the responsibility that you and I have today, now, not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, not when we get to feeling better, but we have that responsibility right now. And our obedience to the gospel, that we might be numbered among the remnant of Lehi upon this land that will do this work, is depending upon our obedience, keeping the commandments of the Lord, doing what he tells us to do, being here in services when they're appointed, and reaching out to our neighbors, doing good to those who are hungry and thirsty, those who are less fortunate than we in many ways, those are the things that we are required to do. And now I'd like to go back to Alma on page 453. In the 19th chapter, and probably we'll only read the first lot there, 92 to 95, but skipping on over to 102 and 107 are also very informative, but beginning with 92. "And now remember, my son, if it were not for the plan of redemption, laying it aside, just, if it weren't for it, lay it aside. As soon as they were dead, their souls were miserable, being cut off from the presence of the Lord. And now there was no means to reclaim men from this fallen state, which man had brought upon himself because of his disobedience." And we need to be cautious of that, very careful. "Therefore, according to justice, the plan of redemption could not be brought about only on condition of repentance of men in this probationary state." That's this life right here. This preparatory state for except it were for these conditions, mercy could not take effect, except it should destroy the work of justice. And he goes on to say that this work of justice will not be, I'll read that 95th verse. Yes, I was supposed to anyway. "And now the work of justice could not be destroyed. If so, God would cease to be God." In other words, he would have lied. And he cannot lie, and justice continue, or our rehabilitation into eternal life. Okay, we'll go over to the next page, and we'll drop down to verse 102. "And also, if there were no law given against sin, men would not be afraid to sin. And if there were no law given, if men sinned, what could justice do, or mercy either? For they would have no claim upon the Creator, on the creature. There is a law given, and a punishment affixed, and repentance granted, which repentance mercy claimeth, otherwise justice claimeth the creature, and executeth the law, and the law inflicteth the punishment. If not so, the works of justice would be destroyed, and God would cease to be God. But God ceaseth not to be God, and mercy claimeth the penitent, and mercy cometh because of the atonement, and the atonement beginneth to pass the resurrection, or bringeth to pass the resurrection." Of the dead, and the resurrection of the dead bringeth back men into the presence of God. And thus they are restored into the presence, into his presence, to be judged according to their works, according to the law and justice. For behold, justice exerciseth all the demands, and all the mercy claimeth all which is her own, and thus none but the truly penitent are saved. What do we suppose that they can rob justice? I say unto you, nay, not one whit. If so, God would cease to be God. And these are the evidences and the proofs that God is God. We're still here. Sun still rises on the morning, goes down in the evening. Men die, and children are born, and grow to manhood. So God is not dead. He is still with us. The next question. That's the Book of Mormon, that's the third book of Nephi, chapter 4 through 14, and I'm not going to read all of that. What did I do? Skip one. Yeah. I combined it with the fourth book of Nephi. Are translated correctly, and that was glued together too. Got the wording just a little wrong. For me, I believe they were. I believe they are. So therefore, I can stake all of my life, all of my doings upon their truthfulness. And I do believe that. And I witness to you before God that I do believe that. The next question is that they, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, are the true and faithful words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoken at that time concerning the last days. Now, somehow or other I didn't get the scriptures in there, but... They tell of the last days and what they are, and we see them if you go back into Isaiah as well as into Third Nephi and Alma and the other prophets of the Bible and the Book of Mormon. You'll see that the things that are going on in the world today, there's hardly a nation on its face that is not in turmoil of one kind or another, and 90% of them are shedding blood of their neighbors. Yes, it's being promoted by, I'll have to say, the Russian Empire that we thought we had overcome in World War II and the wars preceding that or succeeding that, but it didn't take us long after those wars that we knew it was not true. And but in reality, it is not them that is initiating it. It's Satan that's initiating that. And he is initiating it throughout the world. And he has, since the day that Adam... accepted the bite from that fruit that Eve handed to him. Now, what the outcome had been if Adam had refused it, I'm not sure, except you and I probably wouldn't be here. Because Adam would probably still be in the garden and she wouldn't. And that would be the end of that. We would not have a plan of repentance and redemption. And so these are the prophecies and the words that I'm speaking of here, that the Son of God spoke at the time, whatever time it happened to be that was appropriate. He spoke the words and the prophesied and declared the law unto the children of men throughout those times. And we're in that last period of time today, in my belief. Next question here, do you believe we are living in those last days. Now, not tomorrow or the next year, but now. As for me, I believe that we are. I believe that we do not know how long those days are or how long it will take for God to see his standards or whatever accomplished, but he will. And I would like now to turn over to 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter. That's on page 643. And I want to try to clear up some things that may be in some people's mind, maybe not. I hope I don't initiate questions that will be a problem to you in the future that you don't have. But I feel led to continue this reading. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, he cast his eyes round about on the multitude and said unto them, Behold, ye have heard the things which I have taught before I ascended to my Father. Now this is a few days or at least a day after his first appearance. More like that day. Therefore, whosoever remembereth, and I say that because he said for them to go home and to gather their friends and be back on the morrow. And this is the morrow. Therefore, whoso remembereth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will I raise up at the last day. Now, this is not that last day. That last day is the resurrection of the righteous when Christ comes, the second time. And the beginning of that 1,000 years of reign with him, when we will learn perfection, that we might stand before his Father, the very eternal God, without being destroyed, because he can tolerate no sin whatsoever, no nothing that is contrary or the least out of line with his law. Do we believe that that process that we just read is now taking place? And I do. I believe it with all my heart. I've been preaching it for a number of years, especially among the Native American people, when I've been with them. And I do believe this. I would not teach or preach or pretend to believe something that I did not believe. And this I do believe. And now I want to go up to back to 2 Nephi, page 114 in the 7th chapter, and read a few verses there, beginning with the 30th. Wherefore I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, speaking to the Nephites at that time, this land unto thy seed, and they who shall be numbered among thy seed, now that's the Gentiles who will be numbered among them, who are righteous, forever for the land of their inheritance. For it is a choice land, saith God unto me above all other lands. Wherefore, I will have all men that dwell thereon, that they shall worship me, saith God. And I don't know that there was ever a time except when Jared first landed and when Lehi first landed, that this was completely true, that they did believe and worship him. But it didn't take long for Satan to find them and began to work his work. And we have seen its accomplishment throughout the years. I think that next one is actually 3 Nephi. And it's on 644. 7th chapter. And the verses 40. Verses 14. Verse 14, and then over to the other. And behold, this is the land of your inheritance, and the Father give it unto you. And this is the land that we're standing on here. At that particular moment, he was on the part of it now in Central America. But that nevertheless is the land that he spoke of. And now I want to go on over to 42nd and 43rd verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thus hath the Father commanded me, that I should give unto you this people, this land, give unto this people this land for their inheritance. And when the words of the prophet Isaiah shall be fulfilled, which say, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. And you know, I hope and I believe that all of us are hoping to see that day and that it's not too far off. But I have to warn you, there's a lot to be done, a lot to happen to this world, and most of it is not good. Most of it is bringing the Gentiles to their knees, and we have seen, I've seen at least 92 years of that effort, and Satan has been the winner so far, but he will not always be. And for that, I am very thankful. Now I want to turn over to page 654. And my notes are a little messed up there. And verse 50. And the Father has commanded me that I should give unto you this land for your inheritance. Now, repeating these scriptures in order to emphasize that this land is actually the land of the seed of Lehi. The Gentiles have already broken their covenant and their promise with the Lord, and I believe, and that as a people, they will not be saved, they will not be ushered into that great and wonderful last day. And I want to turn over to page 663. And read a few verses here. And my people, who are a remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, even in the midst of them, and that's what we are now. as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if they go through, both tread down and tear in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hands shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass on that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee. I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all the strongholds. And I will cut off witchcraft. I want to pause there for just a moment. I don't know, probably a number of you, maybe not all of you, seen the news the last two or three days of what Phoenix looks like today. You can't travel through Phoenix. The cars are all afloat. Many have lost their lives, and many more have lost their homes and their lands and their properties. Fulfilling this, now parts of this beginning of this very passage which we have just read. Therefore, when these words at works, and the work which shall be wrought among you hereafter, shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall dwindle in unbelief because of iniquity. For thus it behooveth the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that they may show forth his power unto the Gentiles for this cause, that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name and know of the truth, true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And we've been reading about those right along. And these are the things that many of them are happening right now. Maybe you can't all see them. I don't see all of them, but I see a great many of them that gives me strong proof and evidence that I must not transgress the laws of God. I must live as close to them and to him as I possibly can. And I admonish each of you, if you're not, to do the same. And I'm not accusing anybody, but I'm admonishing that if there are any among you, change your ways. Not in the morning, change them tonight. Even before you leave this room, it can be done. And if not, why not? That's the question I want to leave with you today. If these things are not true, if you don't believe them, why not? Thank you.
I've been reading a lot in Jeremiah and Ezekiel during the captivity of the house of Israel. God sent many prophets to Israel, prophesying of their destruction because they would not obey. And today, we read in our Book of Mormon study, and And we read, Alma was sent to various parts of the land. He was told to step down from being the chief judge, and he was sent to preach to the Nephites, to cause them to repent. And this is some of what he said. Behold, now I say unto you that he commandeth you to repent, and except ye repent, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. But behold, this is not all. He hath commanded you to repent, or he will utterly destroy you from off the face of the earth. Yea, he will visit you in his anger, and in his fierce anger he will not turn away. He warned them that because they knew, because they had a light and knowledge of the Word of God, that if they didn't repent, they would be destroyed. And we saw that's what happened. The Nephites were destroyed. Israel was removed from the face of their land. There was left a remnant. But we are at that crux, that point in time, where if we don't repent as a nation, these prophecies will be fulfilled. And it's our responsibility to warn the people. Thank you, brother. We will close this service.